I'm going to actually start with a title. Power Over Fear. Now, that phrase can go a couple of ways. Power over fear or power over fear. The second one is what I'm talking about. Not, you got power over fear. Yes, that will spill out in the message, but the reality is power is over fear. Let me make sure you understand that. Now, Can I just go right in? Can I give one? Can I count it off? Power is over fear in width, in depth, in ability, in function. We treat the power of God as fear's counterpart or remedy or medicine. I have fear. Let's quote some scriptures, and eventually the fear will go away. Whew. So God's power has become, for the body of Christ, a spiritual Tylenol to alleviate the temporary symptoms of fear. Told you I was going right in. And my point is, power is over fear. Fear doesn't even rank in the same category, nor can it stand in the place of God's power or God's presence. And I realize that I've treated the anointing and the power as a remedy or a counterattack to the enemy's moves rather than an annihilator or total, you know, alleviator and annihilator of anything the enemy can do. Maybe you're going to get a little more excited a little bit further on, because I don't think it's clicked yet. Fear is a counterfeit. It's not real. It's not legal tender. It has no gold backing it. It has no real substance or force to back it, other than your belief of it, acceptance of it, and yielding to it. Power is eternal. Before you were yet in your mother's womb, it has a spiritual backing. There's a judge that sits on high that endorses that currency, and that currency continues forever. I'm going to step on some toes a little bit. Cryptocurrency. Not against people in their crypto at all. I've looked into it a little bit. The problem I have with it is no government regulates it or backs it. So if you deposit $5 million of cryptocurrency tomorrow and Mr. Crypto says, yep, we're shutting the site down, there goes your crypto. Well, the government can do that too, yes, but there's been a record and proof that that's not the way it normally goes. You know, your devaluing doesn't change like that. Now, there are a lot of positives to crypto. I'm not against or for. I'm not here to preach anti-crypto. I'm just trying to make the point of, in the realm of the spirit, fear is something that is threatened or promised to you, but it has no spiritual backing or foundation or force that supports it. Because Satan's a liar, so anything he says doesn't have validity. So fear is something that has to be sold to you. You have to buy and believe it. You got to sign the deed for it. You got to take it home and take it as yours. And the power that it has is only yours. Because when you bring it to me, I don't receive it or accept it, or it doesn't apply to me, and I don't even know what you're scared of. Let me give you an example. I might embarrass a couple of folk, just a little bit. The most irrational, illogical fear that is purchased by a lot of people and has grip, power, might, and control is this. Ready? Women mostly have it. A couple of soft dudes. Fear of bugs. Yeah, we'll run and climb and jump on top of a chair and scream, oh my God! Somebody could be pointing a gun at you and you react less than you do to this little bug crawling across the floor. Where does that come from but hell? There's no, that bug is trying to get away from you. You got a toe, a big toe that can end his whole existence, and yet you're having heart palpitations, about to have a heart attack for this bug. This is something that was sold to you. You signed for it, and you gave it legal value, but it has no eternal value. It's just what it is. One revelation of power over that, and it's over. Not just that bug, but all his cousins and ancestors and anything related to it, dead. Just like that and forever. Boom. What happened to your fear of bugs? It was irrational, it was stupid, and I realized it had no monetary value. Now let's think of all these other fears. Fear of failure. It's another powerful one. I wrestled with that one for a lot of years. Not that most people can see, because I was always so aggressive. But yet, most of us deal with a little bit of that. Not everybody, but most of us. You know who doesn't deal with it? If you want me to identify people who really just don't really deal with it, I'm not saying they don't get the thoughts, but just don't buy it or cash it in. Go look on your Forbes list and see all the top people, and you figure out who they are real quick. Because they just decide, fear be damned, excuse my expression, I have something to conquer, and if fear gets in my way, I'm going to run it over. I'm not going to put the car in park and stand there and see if it's going to cross the road. Is it going to keep standing there in front of the car? I hit the horn 3 times. I said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, and it didn't move. So I'm just going to just wait on the Lord. You know, eventually he's going to make it happen. Fear of failure is just as stupid as the bug, because you can't fail at something that you have not even tried for fear of failure. Think about what I just said. Did I miss anybody? So it's irrational. You're afraid of failing at something that you're not even doing. Irrational. And there's nothing in the realm of God to back that. Whereas power is backed. Power is backed. Jeff was just standing up here sharing about not feeling he needs to go to people and trying to convince them of his walk with God and what God has done. And it's interesting, little bro, because the revelation that God was giving me for this message lines up with that. It's a church saying, in the guise of fake power, me included, well, God's going to use me and my example to save or help others. I'm not boasting. I'm sharing my story to anybody who I can make stand still long enough that and pretend they want to hear me, because somehow I'm going to change their life. How many of you have ministered to a lot of people in your life and shared your story? Would we say 80% of them received? Raise your hand if it's 70%. 60? When I get to your number, let me know. 50? 40? You reach 40% of the people you minister to? You need this job. 30? You figure 30? Okay, 30, okay. You're going to go with 30. That's good, 30. That's a good number. You want to go with 30 now? Okay, 30. 20. 10? 5? Come on, Penn, you got to pick one. but you get my point, right? So what the Lord brought to my attention, he said, power is mine to distribute, not yours. Exactly what little brother was standing up here saying today. Come on. And he reminded me of this, little brother, back so you can have scripture to back up what you're saying. Lazarus. Remember the rich man died? Went to the pit. He saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He said, let me go back and tell my family. For surely if somebody comes back from the dead. And God said what? No, they won't. Not even if somebody comes back from the dead, they won't hear him. They won't receive it. They'll come up with some logic. They'll come up with some science. He really wasn't dead. He was in a state of ketosis. Because revelation and wisdom comes from a hungry heart, which God then enlightens.
Come on, preach. Hallelujah.
You don't change people. You seed, and hopefully they're the ground that receives the seed. And in that dunamis, or power is awakened in them. But the power never ceased to exist. However, fear only exists upon someone signing for a package. Do I need to explain that again? This is real powerful what I'm saying. Power to change things from the spiritual perspective always exists and is always functioning, is always available to be received. Fear only has power once someone signs for it. I may be a little all over the place, but it's all going to come together. We're going to get to some verses. So, as I was sitting here looking at the state of the world right now, which is in a state of fear. Ooh, now there's a new COVID variant. It's Orion now. Next week is going to be Jupiter. Who knows, right? They're going to keep coming up with all different kinds. Megatron, right? Optimus Prime variant, right? Listen, here's my point. And I said this in the beginning. They're going to take this, take that. And they're going to keep coming up with more and more. Now you need a booster. Now you need a double booster. Now you need the super, chromium booster. It's going to just... And that fear has gripped so many. Now, I'm not anti-vax. I'm not pro-vax. I'm do what you want to do. I'm going to make this statement online. I'm going to say this, and people may not like it if it gets out there. But I'm going to say it. Yes, I am. A woman can kill a fetus in her body, and it's her choice. But they're going to try to mandate that you take a needle? They're going to mandate that you keep your baby. You can take a life. That's your choice. But if you choose to let your own life be at risk at whatever, that's now you can't eat, you can't shop, you can't go to work, sounding like the mark. Let people choose. Isn't that the same? My body, my choice. Isn't that the same? But I digress. I've watched people talk from the beginning of time, from a child, from a baby Christian, all the way up, about the end and how the end would come. And they talk about it from the perspective all the time. Listen to me close. I'm dealing with power over fear. They always talk about it from the perspective of men, even church leaders. Nuclear war, it's going to be a nuclear holocaust. It's going, you know, men is going to wind up blowing each other up in some kind of arms race. Am I wrong? Something's always going to happen that somehow man's climate change, somehow man, God's going to need man's hands. Well, we just saw a tornado, just some wind, no nuclear fallout, nothing that the man's hands had anything to do with, ravish a whole countryside. God's judgment does not need our assistance. As little brother said, he don't need a hype man, nor does he need an assistant to co-rap with him. He's got it, right? When judgment is released, the natural elements alone, some water, some wind, it's all it takes. He did it before with a flood. Now, with that said, I want you to stop fearing what man made this disease. I don't care if he made all of them. You can't live, well, you can, but you should not live in fear and confess that you have power. I'm not telling you to wake up today and just be this better person. I'm trying to give you something to put in your ground, some seed to begin to let nurture and to grow into something powerful. Power is placed or dunamis by God in this earth when he said, let there be light. That power, that dunamis has never ceased to exist. That's why the sun still comes up every morning and goes down every night. That's why the rivers and the seas come this far and turn around and go back. Except those times when they decide, well, now we're going to come a little further and wipe out stuff. But during those times, they know that unless there's something extraordinary, the sea knows to not go any further than it goes. How does it know that? It's design. Power keeps this earth spinning on its axis so it doesn't fall down from the sky. How's there gravity here and none up there, yet the earth still floats and the planet's still just spinning near one spot? It's called dunamis. It's called power. He spoke it and it was. And fear is designed that the enemy has to get you to speak it, and then it is. But its power is limited to you. You can't speak a disease on me. You can speak it on yourself. But he causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the just and the unjust equally. That's there. That's law. That's dunamis. It's in place. It's power. Power is over fear. Fear is a very, very small subculture that does not define who you are and what you can accomplish. Amen. One person received it. I heard your confession. Your Osha can be confessing that. She just said, fear does not define who I am or what I can accomplish. It's a paraphrase of what I just said, but you should all start speaking it when you hear me say stuff like this and your spirit bears witness. It needs to come out of your mouth. What I speak works for me. What you speak works for you. And hearing what I say and being encouraged by it is cute, but that don't change anything. It got to come out of your vocabulary. You got to speak to yourself. You got to speak to the house. You got to say to yourself, this is who I am and this is the position I now take. Hey, Before I go to the verse, I want to say this one more time. Fear is only an act that is activated by the person who receives it. Power is eternal. They're not equals, and is not an aspirin to fear. Prayer is not what you use to make fear go away for a while or to make fear subside. It eradicates it once you step into the realm of power. So let me help you a little bit. Say, I will, from this point on, walk in the realm of power. So I could accord the title, Power is Over Fear. Not a remedy. I'm going to say that a few more times through the course of this message. Praying for power is not an aspirin. It's an awakening. Let's look at this. Go to me with 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me know when you're there. I heard one amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We there? For I am calling up memories, starting at verse 5. For I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith. What is he calling up? Memories of his what? Okay, well, he's calling up memories of what, though? No, just what is he calling up? Those are what do you call those words? The words they exaggerate or the adjectives, but the word is what? He's calling up memories of his what? Of his faith. He's now qualifying by saying it's sincere and unqualified, but he's calling up memories of his faith. He's giving thought to the faith of this person. And then here's what he calls faith. Are you listening? The leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his
power.
In his
power.
In his
power.
In his
power.
Let's do this again now.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to break down faith in a whole different way. I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your what? Entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confident in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith that first was permanently in the hearts of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now is, I am fully persuaded, dwells in you also. Let me say this, parents, aunts, uncles, elders, grandma, Ma, I see it in you. I say this all the time. In the areas that my children chose to walk in the faith that they see daddy walk in, it's manifested. And you can't stop it. And people say, yeah, your son got that swag like you. And your son kind of got that walk and that flow like you. No. He's got the elements and the foundation of that power and that faith that he's seen in me. It looked like swag because that's how God looked. If God walked in the room, it would just be just a room full of swag. It would just swagalicious all over the place. It's just, there's no other word to describe God as swag. You think God will come in the room, hey, how you doing? Do you love me? God is swag. God come in there, he knows, he feels it, he walks in. That's why every time everybody sees him from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm, they fall on their faces dead men. They be like, swag is too much. Moses was hanging out in the mountain with God for a little while and came by. And people was like, oh my God, hide the swag, it's too bright. So it is not swag. It's power. It's foundation. It's the roots of showing itself in your kids. There's things that Talima does and says is just like her dad. There's a swag. There's a confidence passed down. But it's based on unyielding faith, trust in the wisdom and power of God. That's where swag's created. Real swag. I'm just using the word swag because that's where we are. That's not part of the message. Watch this. So he said, I'm thinking about this unqualified faith you have because you lean your entire personality on God in Christ. There's no fear if you're doing that. But his power, his wisdom, and his goodness, you trusting in that. A faith that I saw in your grandma and your mom. This is why I would remind you to stir up and rekindle the embers and fan the flames of and keep burning that gracious gift of God. You hear what he's saying? With the inner fire, this is in you by means of laying on of my hands with those elders at your ordination. Now stop again. So he's saying this power, this dunamis, this confidence, this trust should be stirred. It should be stirred. The ember should be stirred. Now, for those who don't understand that, because we have gas stoves and all that, they didn't have that. They had logs and fire. And when the fire was going low, they would stir the embers up and it would get them to spark up again so it can reunite the fire. They didn't have the little kerosene cans that they sprinkled on there at the barbecue to make it go poof again, right? They had their systems and they worked them. And he's saying those embers of faith, those embers of power, those embers of trusting and believing can start to go dull over time. And you need to have people of like faith or still walking in the faith stir that up. And he's asking himself to stir up his own if necessary. But get your gift stirred up by getting hands laid on you or by laying hands on somebody. But he's saying, but you need to stir this gift up. This power and this kind of trust is not going to come by you hearing me, receiving a message, and going home and say, ooh, that was good. Praise God. Ooh, that spoke to me today. It'll die right out. It's got to be stirred. That's why I said, you'll listen to the message again. Two people raise their hand. Like, listen, fine. But when your fires keep going out and you don't ever know what the victory is until you get kicked in the face by the devil and then you got to go crawling to God for a Tylenol of faith to get through the week, you understand why your life keeps looking like that. Stir it up. Talking about it. Speaking about it. Talking about it to yourself. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He had to keep this going. Then you get people around you that talk like you talk, dream like you dream, want what you want, understand what you understand, and you'll kick it back and forth, and this flame is stirred up in you. Pray for me. It don't mean you got to have come people say, I lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you can just take somebody's hand in prayer. That believes what you believe and stand the way you stand. Ain't got to be no big ceremony in front of church and everybody, blah, 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 blah. No, just get somebody to say, this is the stand I want. And CNN and NBC and Fox and the news and Facebook and Instagram has dulled my embers. And I need to talk to someone to stir up the gift in me again. I need to keep that fire hot. So I need to be around people of like-minded faith that can stir and keep me hot.
Yes.
What am I talking about today? What's the title of the message? So I'm trying to get you to see where the power comes from to beat fear.
Amen.
Fear should be eradicated, not temporarily dealt with until you face it again.
Thank you, Lord.
A lot of Christians deal with fear by avoiding the thing they're afraid of. That's not deliverance. I mean, if you need to for a minute, fine, but sooner or later, you should be able to go down and face that thing out and take it out. So he says, stir up the gifts by laying on of the hands, on my hands. He's laying his hands on them. Stir this gift up with those of the elders at your ordination. And then he goes into this, and that's why it's good to read the stuff before. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So you see what he's talking about? All of this was leading to that. I'm thinking about your unwavering faith. I'm thinking about your grandma and your ma who passed these things on to you. I think about how you need to rekindle this. Why? Because these are the things that deal with fear. This is how you keep fear in its place. And people just quote, for God haven't given me a spirit of fear, without the stuff before it. Well, here's how you deal with that. In the verse 5 part where he says, your unqualified faith in the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust, confidence in his power. It's not a magic word that you quote, well, God haven't given me a spirit of fear, and God haven't given me a spirit of fear, and God haven't given me a spirit of fear, God haven't given me a spirit of fear. Remedy. Trying to use an aspirin. That is not a position of yours. That's something you're trying to use right now because you got a problem. You could keep doing it that way if you want. I refuse. Is this helping somebody?
Yes.
So he goes into, for God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, of cowardice, of craving, of cringing, fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit. So you see the but? Did you catch that? Let's make sure we get this clearly. Because he's making a contrast now. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. And we're going to break down some of these words. But of what? He has given us a spirit of
power
and love. And sound mind, and here it says calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. Calm, well-balanced mind is not something you have to seek. It's been given. Now, watch this. Not to your mind. Not to your mind. He hasn't given a calm, well-balanced mind to your mind. You're looking at me like, what? It's a spirit.
Hey.
He says that he has not have given you a spirit of fear, but the spirit.
Right.
So this ain't a feeling now.
It's a spirit.
Hallelujah.
It's part of the package.
Hey.
Membership has its privileges. It's part of the package. You're not being strong. You are strong. You're not being brave. You've been given a spirit to be brave. This is not something you're trying to feel. This is something that you are. It's an additive. It's an ingredient. It's a foundational agreement to what's been given to you. And he's saying the spirit of fear, it is a spirit. It's not a feeling. It's a spirit. Wasn't given to you. Don't take it. Has been given to you, don't take it. Stop signing for it. Fear bugs, fear whatever. That's fear. You sign for that.
Amen.
It's a spirit. The spirit. See, he's contrasting it's one spirit to another. That one God didn't give you. It's given from the Father of lies. This one he did. Power. Love, soundness of mind, discipline, self-control. God, just give me the strength. God's like, son, daughter, he's been talking to me, son. Gave it to you. Now, let's go to the fear part. We're going to stay on this verse. We're not getting off this verse. This is the verse of the day. I've heard it, in my opinion, underpreached for a long time. Not saying I got it all, but I got what I got, and I'm giving it to you. God has not given you a spirit of, let's look at it, timidity, of cowardice, of craving, cringing, and fawning fear. Now, I was like, okay, I know what cowardice is. I needed to know what this craving and cringing, and I understand what cringing is, but the word that jumped out for me was fawning fear. Fawning fear. That hit me. And so I looked it up. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Fawning fear, in a nutshell, is the use of people-pleasing to diffuse conflict. Let me read it again. In a nutshell, fawning fear is the use of people-pleasing to diffuse conflict, to feel more secure in relationships, and to earn the approval of others. We talk, oh, the devils and the demons and the people and the murder and the disease. No, I didn't give you a fear that you be going around kissing a bunch of people's butts trying to say what they need you to say and do what they need you to do to get them to like you and appreciate you and accept you and promote you and give you a raise or whatever else you're trying to get them to do.
Wow.
There's more. It is a manipulative way of creating safety in our connections with others by essentially mirroring the images, expectations, and desires of others. Conforming, bending, getting along, talking like, trying to, you know, I can't stand that the church want to have the bling and everything that the world has, because the world will accept us if we try to be like them. That's cowardice. That's fawning, cringing, fear. Our example is supposed to be on its own from God. We're total reliance and trusting in God, not trying to look like them. I don't need to then be trying to have the latest design of this and that, because then maybe they'll receive my Jesus. No, you wasn't ready for that to be the definition of one of the definitions of fear. Because we like to go to the spooky stuff right away. But what I'm trying to show you is power is over fear, and all issues are matters of the heart. None of the external stuff is relevant. The external stuff is what happens as a result of what's going on inside, not the other way around. It's what you already bought into, you've already believed, you've already accepted, you already bowed to, you cater to. He said it's a manipulative way. Manipulative, you're manipulating yourself. You're manipulating the spiritual principles that you understand. You're making yourself fit into something that you know you don't even belong in. Why are you walking like slaves, and why the slaves are riding horses like princes? Why are you down there? Why are you trying to fit into their world? You are not supposed to be trying to bend your will to be proved up by man so that man can then look at you and point at you and say you okay. And with that said, I no longer care about a Grammy or Tony or nothing else. Because at that point, I'm like, God, how much do I have to do to make a man acknowledge me? Not willing to. Not willing to. If it happens, it happens. But I am no longer in quest of it.
Amen.
How much are you willing to bend to get along? Oh, you can't talk about that. Why? Oh, they'll cancel you. That's what this is. The use of people pleasing to diffuse conflict. very first statement, the use of people pleasing to get people to not be upset with you. So let's read that in this concept again. God did not give you the spirit of timidity, of people pleasing, to diffuse conflict, or feel more secure in relationships. How many church women will take unsaved men that they know ain't trying to serve God to have a relationship with them because they just want to have a man and they're willing to bow and give in areas that they know they shouldn't give in because they just don't want to be alone? So he hasn't given us that, but what has he given us? The power of love. It's agape, of a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. I'm going to bring this to a close for today. There's more to it, but let's just take this as enough. I've made the mistake, so you don't feel like I'm picking on you. In my life, I'm looking for a calm and well-balanced mind to achievements. I lived a lot of my life trying to accomplish, most of my life, to be finally accepted, honored, praised, liked, approved of, appreciated. Just me. I know none of you don't have these issues. Spent a lot of my life needing somebody somewhere who doesn't exist to tell me I'm okay. Because the person doesn't exist. Because once that person tells you you're okay, and two more people tell you you're not, then you got to weigh, do I go with this one who tells me I'm okay or the five who said I'm not? When the only one who can give me that stamp of validation, power of love, and a sound mind with discipline and self-control has already given it to me. I want to make sure you hear me. Not can give it to me and will give it to me, but he says he has given you a spirit of a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. Has given to you, past tense. He hasn't given you a spirit of kissing A to try to get people to like you, but he has given you a spirit where you're good with yourself and your mind is calm and well-balanced and you have discipline and self-control and you have that dunamis, that power over that fear living in you already right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure, we can have a prayer. You can let it rock. Let's pray. Father, we see this. There it is. We have learned. Now, anoint us to unlearn. To let go of the old ways, the fawning that we've learned a new word today. We refuse to be fawners. We choose from this day forward to walk in the spirit of power, love, a calm, well-balanced mind with total spiritual discipline and spiritual, physical, and mental self-control. We are not afraid. We are not trying to please men. We just want to please you. Total reliance, he said, faith, total reliance and trust on you, your power, and your wisdom. As this new year comes, let us surrender to your power and your wisdom. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you receive something, give God a praise. Now, for real, give him a praise like you really received something. Give him a praise like you really, really received something. Open your mouth and give him a praise that you have the spirit already of power. You have the spirit already of agape love. You spirit have his spirit already of a calm, well-balanced mind with discipline and self-control. Already yours. Already yours. The spirit of fear has no power over you. It is eradicated. It is alleviated. It is done from the moment that you claim your power. Claim your power. Claim your power. Claim your power. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that power. We worship you for that power. We worship you for that power. We thank you. 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 Yes, Lord. It's ours. It's ours. We receive it. I pray for an infusion to each and every one of you. That I want you to be vaccinated right now with this. With the spirit of power, of love. Calm, well-balanced mind. It's yours right now. Discipline. Self-control. Say it with me. Power. Love. Calm. Well-balanced mind. Discipline. Self-control. Mind now. Hallelujah. I never saw people pleasing as a spirit before. It's the spirit of fear. I never saw it as a spirit until God broke this down for me. And an evil spirit at that. I've been saying to you guys for the past couple of months, we're better than this. We're better than what we've been living out of. We're better. Let's receive it. In Jesus' name.